Gary DePaul with Unlabeled Leadership. Welcome to episode 54, Terrell Turner Elevates Team Collaborations. Here's a shout out to listeners in Virginia, specifically in Ashburn, Washington, Arlington, Colonial Heights, Boone's Mill, Vienna, Virginia Beach, Glen Allen, North Fork, and Reston. With that, let's get started. For 2021, the marketplace is starting to stabilize. But if you're a small business owner, that might not be the case. And if you worry about survival or how you're going to grow your business, you're not alone. Terrell Turner, he worries about these things. And he helps small businesses discover the path to survival. And it is a very narrow path. Last week, if you asked me to listen to a finance or an accounting podcast, I would not do it. However, that's no longer the case. I'm actually listening to a podcast, well, not right now, a podcast called The Finance and Accounting Show, which is Terrell and Lola Turner's podcast. Based out of Charlotte, North Carolina, Terrell is the co-founder and fractional CFO of TL Turner Group. They help small businesses understand their finances and to enable businesses to become more profitable. I didn't ask Terrell to be on Unlabeled Leadership because of his finance and accounting background. No, it's because of his unique perspective of leadership and his stories. Part 1, Influence Comes from All Directions. Back in episode 2, I explained the difference between management and leadership. And one of my arguments is that leadership can be practiced by anyone, regardless of role. I also argue that you can lead from the perspective of your role. If you accept that belief, then you never know who's going to influence you, but you can watch for it and not discount people. In this story, Terrell shares an experience where he's had the opportunity to influence and actually an opportunity to lead. Here's Terrell with the story.
An experience that I had when I was probably leading up to getting my first job, and I was very nervous about being such a young professional and being able to make an impact. One of the things that I had an experience with someone, it was actually at a church, and they were talking about, something about managing stress levels. I was the youngest person in the room, so it wasn't like I had any great experience. Everyone else was like twice my age in the room. But one of the things that they had talked about, and I was like, well, I had some experience that I wanted to share about something, how I dealt with, you know, getting ready for an exam and just balancing that and just getting ready to leave that phase of life to go into my professional phase. When I shared the advice, one of the gentlemen in the room, who was literally like twice my age, turned and said, "Wow, that's exactly what I needed to hear." It was one of those things that sat with me because it really reemphasized something that, you know, the person who was leading the discussion came to me afterwards and said, "Hey, I want you to teach the next session because I believe that you can learn something from everybody around you. Even if that person isn't, you know, of a status that's years ahead or they don't have the title, you can always learn something from everyone around you." It's something that really stayed with me and really caused me to take a step back of lowering my ego when it comes down to leadership and making sure that I'm paying attention to everyone around me because there's some value that they could bring to the table that I may not be fully aware of. But being able to take a step back and look at that and say, "Hey, you know what? Everybody has some type of value that they're bringing to the table. How do I take the position as a healthy leader to be able to find that out? Like, how do I help people expose the value that they bring and to help them feel more comfortable bringing that forward to the team? Because I think it only benefits everyone when people are comfortable bringing their piece of value to the team."
That is so true. And there's a leadership principle called collaborating with others. It's a good thing to do, but there's some underlying beliefs that go with that. One of them is that influence comes from all directions. This belief aligns right with what you're saying about you can learn something from everyone around you.
Absolutely. And I think that is so true about the influence coming from all sense of directions. And I think about it now in, you know, running my own business. And one of the things that I enjoy doing at times is spending time with someone who understands marketing and reading like some of the marketing studies. And one of the funny things that you find with a lot of marketers that market, let's say, products that parents usually buy for kids. And they would say, you know, yes, the parent is the one buying the product. But if you really look at it, the kid who is in a, from a financial standpoint, the child is in a lower financial status than the parent. But when you look at that, the child is really driving the influence.
That is so true. I'll share something with you that just came to mind as you were saying that. When I was in junior high school, I decided I wanted a motorcycle. And my parents were dead set against it. I kept talking about it, and somehow I managed to get a motorcycle. I don't know how I did it, but you're right. The marketing, a lot of it is geared for the audience of children, and the children, boy, they can be incredible influencers in buying decisions.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things, like I said, that just really re-emphasize of influence is coming from so many different directions. As a leader, one of the things that I, you know, had to get good at is not only just recognizing that, hey, influence and value can come from any direction, but then also taking it a step further of helping the people on the team see how their contribution is adding value. Because when, you know, when I think back to, you know, that session where the leader of the session asked me to come back and teach, he was helping me see, like, not only am I telling you that your contribution added value, I want to get you in a position where you can bring even more value in the area that other people already respect you in. Because I think as a leader, sometimes, you know, we have to really look at our team and say, okay, all right, this person is good at this, but how do I help the rest of the team see that they are good at it so that people can also pull that value out of that person even more? Because the more people that are aware that this person is good at that, you know, the more value the team can get out of it, and the more people will feel comfortable going to that person saying, hey, I need help in this area, and I've heard you're good at it. And I think it really starts to bond the relationship of the team a lot more when people can appreciate each other for their strengths.
There's two things that I'm learning from what you're saying here. First, if you're in charge of a team, if you're managing people, you want to enable them to provide their influence. In a sense, give them permission to interact and offer their opinions. And I know that as you have a hierarchy, it's more difficult for, say, someone who's at the front lines to provide advice than someone who directly reports to you. But the other thing that I love what you're saying is this. When someone does something influential, like in your church, when that one person made the comment, this was just what I needed at this time, is that you let, I love it, you let the person know, hey, here's how you made a difference. And let's leverage your contribution and really capitalize on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that that's a part that sometimes that as a leader, I think can be missing, is where we take the chance to go back and let people know the impact that their contribution had. Because I think that was the thing for me that made me even more confident about bringing what I had to the table more.
Part two. Elevating partnerships through project management. If you're in a support function in an organization such as human resources, legal, talent development, the last thing that you want is other groups to consider you to be a commodity, or as Chip Baker might say, just a transactional function. Instead, you want to be a partner, and have a partnership collaborating with other departments. Or, as Chip Baker might say, you would want to be considered as a transformational group. Terrell shares an incredible story about how his function transformed themselves, and it all started with a simple admission. Here's Terrell to tell his story.
I think back to when I had a role of being the director of finance for a tech company, and there were a lot of things going on, and it was my opportunity to, like I said, to lead a team, and other people were looking for insight and direction, and we had several different projects that we were working on. All of the tasks had been handed out to the different people on the team, and there were a couple of things that I needed to do that I put my name by to own. We were working through those things, and everybody had a deadline of when they were going to get their stuff done. My deadline was coming up, and there were some other things that popped up that I needed to urgently take care of. I was at a point where I was like, okay, all right, I'm not going to meet this deadline, but I'll be able to wake up early in the morning and get it done. No one will ever know that I didn't meet the deadline that I set. And one of those things that I thought to myself is, I'm like, okay, should I just go ahead and be silent about this and then just wake up early in the morning and get it done? And I was like, you know what? If I'm going to be the type of leader that really lets people know that it's okay to have accountability and it's okay to communicate and give status updates and be honest about what's going on, I probably need to approach this differently. So what I decided to do is when I met with the team, I gotten it done early that morning. But when I met with the team, I told them, I was like, hey, the deadline was for me to have this done by this day at 5 p.m. I didn't get it done, but I woke up early that morning to make sure I got it done. So before everybody came in, it wouldn't hold us up going forward. Now, it didn't seem like a big thing, but after that meeting, several of the people on the team came back and said, I really respect you for being honest about that, because nobody would have known that you missed your deadline. But what it started to do after that, going forward, people were more open to sharing updates. Like if they were going to miss a deadline, they were communicating it beforehand, which was great for me as a leader because it gave me a chance to then reconfigure things, or I knew where I had to shift. Because one of the big challenges that some of the other leaders in the company were having is someone was going to miss a deadline and they were beating themselves up about it. They were very silent until the very last minute, which meant the leader over the project didn't have time to adjust and figure out an alternative because they didn't find out to the last minute. Creating that environment where people felt comfortable coming forward and saying, I'm supposed to hit this deadline. It doesn't look like I'm going to meet it. It gave them an opportunity to not feel condemned about it. And then it also gave the rest of the team an opportunity to hear that and say, hey, well, I can step in and help out with that if this is what's holding you up. And we were able to be way more productive. I didn't realize what seemed like a small admission of me missing the target would do to really invigorate the rest of the team to be honest with one another and to see and find opportunities where they could help each other out.
When you did that, you were just showing people accountability. And in a sense, you're unintentionally, I guess in this case, communicating to your team, hey, it's okay when something is not working out the way you expected, if you let everyone know, and it's giving permission for people to say, this isn't working out the way I thought it would. And I'm holding my hand up to say, I'm going to be late. I love how it gives your teammates an opportunity to step in and help that person out.
Absolutely. And I think that became a huge thing because a lot of people were feeling like this is my task. My name is the one that's on it. I'm the one that has to get this done. What we were finding is some people were able to get their tasks done faster than others because they didn't have as many external, I guess, say, dependents on what they were working on. What we were finding is that some people were getting done really quick and they were just sitting around with nothing to do.
they were getting bored. And then where there were other people who were backed up with work to where we're like, the people who were bored, how do we get them involved? And the people who were overloaded, how do we get some of that stress off them? And I think that communication and that transparency just created that opportunity for the team to help one another. It worked wonders because the people who were bored now had something valuable to do with their time. And the people who were overwhelmed now had some help and some relief. And it really started to make the team work together a lot better.
It's amazing that if all teams were like that, just think about how that impacts us, not only time, but also cost. It encourages people to be a lot more engaged in what's going on and being able to support one another.
Absolutely. And I think for us, once we kind of saw that culture developing within our team and like the accounting and the finance area, we actually started practicing that with other non-finance and accounting departments. So like if the sales team was waiting on us for something and we weren't going to meet a deadline, it's like, okay, all right, our culture is let's contact the person that we're working with. Let's let them know, hey, I'm not going to be able to meet this deadline, but here's the alternative deadline that I can meet. And what it started to do is it started to create trust with other departments to where other departments were looking forward to the opportunity to work with us. When you're in a corporate professional setting, the accounting and the finance department is not usually like, hey, I'm looking forward to working with them. So it was really a game changer for the company as a whole, because we went from being the, I guess you'd say, the rule keepers and the people who said no because of the numbers and we got to cut costs and we got to, where we became actual partners, helping them navigate and work through things to where some of the leaders in some of the other departments were talking to their team and they were trying to come to a decision. And they would say, hey, have you talked to someone in finance about this yet? Or what does finance have to say? It's like we became the people that they wanted to talk to as opposed to the people they had to talk to.
That is a huge transformation, especially for a support function like finance.
Absolutely. I mean, and it really helped a lot of people in the organization. And I think it helped the non-finance team members feel more comfortable and confident about the decisions that they were making, because now they could say, we now have the operational or the sales or the marketing input, and we also have the financial perspective on this decision. So when they would go make a decision, they had more pieces to the puzzle so that they would feel more confident that, hey, based on what we know, we think this is the right decision. We all can champion and get behind this decision and move forward confidently.
Part 3, leadership is a journey. There seems to be a positive correlation between effective leadership and lifelong learning. It's in this area that Terrell offers some advice for how to think about leadership. Again, here's Terrell.
Being a good leader is a journey and it's a development process, because I think a lot of people beat themselves up because they're not getting the greatest results right out of the gate. But I think once they understand themselves that, hey, this is a journey and this is a process, I think it starts a very great trajectory. And I think the practical thing to do with that is once you accept that this is a journey, this is a process, is actually let your team know that. The people who are working with you, it just be honest with them about, hey, this is what I'm working on. Or if there's an area of your leadership, it's okay to communicate that to your team, that here's an area that I'm working on, or I'm trying to get better at managing processes as opposed to just always trying to put out fires. When your team hears that you're working on something, I think it allows them to respect you as being a human being. They know that you're not perfect. And the truth of the matter is, it may be something that they already think you should be working on. They're just afraid to tell you. When you're honest about that, I think it makes people trust you more. And then it also demonstrates that it's okay to be in a process of development. And then I would say, I think the next thing is don't be afraid to reach out for help. because I will say I learned so much when I worked for General Electric and we would do the leadership trainings. A lot of times people are like, oh, well, what are they going to teach me that I don't already know? And sometimes you may hear something that you already know, but the way that they explain it and help expose the value in that concept or that lesson, it can be the difference between you being able to properly influence your team or you missing targets or you losing good people on your team. So I would always tell people, be honest that leadership is a journey. Be honest with your team to let them know where you are in that journey. And then don't be afraid to invest and take the time to get coaching or to get help to develop as a leader. Because again, it is a journey and it's not one that's meant to be traveled alone.
Not one and done. And it's a continuous process. There is something you said, that example of letting people know you're on this journey, you're doing this process, and you may be working on something that everyone thinks you should be working on anyway, but it not only develops respect for you for working on it, it's a way of giving permission to those around you to hold you accountable on developing what it is you're trying to work on. I've seen where someone has done that, and in a team meeting, a team member will say, you're doing that thing again that you said you were going to work on. And everyone laughs. It's okay because you've given permission for them to help raise your awareness about what you're doing.
Absolutely. I think that's so true because I remember sitting in a meeting when I worked at General Electric, the aviation division, several billion-dollar division. And I was in a meeting with the CEO of that division. And one of the things that he had talked about is he was like, he had an unconscious bias about using sports analogies when he would talk through things and explain things. What he realized is not everybody on his team understood the sports analogies that he was using.
Yeah.
And so we were in the middle of a conversation. He had started using a sports analogy and someone had pointed out, it's like, is that a sports analogy you're using? Everybody laughed and he was like, you know what? Yes. Thank you for pointing that out.
My thanks to Terrell Turner. If you'd like to get to know more about Terrell, go to the show notes. And if you have a comment or question, go to unlabeledleadership.com, click the message icon, and you can leave a message for up to 1 minute. I'd like to thank those who contribute to the show. Your contributions help with the production cost. But mostly, I'd like to thank you, the listener, for listening to all these episodes. I'm humbled by how the audience continues to grow. Until next time, lead on.